The God who sees me. Oh man, that is a great word. The God who sees me. His eyes are always on me.
Wow.
You have something to say, Rose?
I'm just
trying to give you a chance.
Welcome. Rose, welcome to our family.
Yeah, I've been about a month or two.
We are certainly passionate about it. One of the things that we enjoy about being together as family is just, God, what do you do? What do you do with that? Waking up to how much He loves us. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, we get so confused up here, we end up believing something else. I'll talk about that a little bit. I think we'll see. I was watching some post from that prayer. I don't know what it was yesterday in D.C. That a prayer march or a
it's
prayer?
It was a prayer march for, just everything. And Franklin Graham.
I saw.
Who's with Billy Graham.
Yeah.
And he kind of mimicked what his father was doing. Just kind of reaching out to the souls and marching from.
He's been advertising.
Hi, Willie! Hi!
Oh, Willie!
The whole morning was waiting for Willie this morning.
Yay!
I'm watching that some clips of that march. Yes, there wasn't a stage.
No,
they were on the steps. When I saw them clips, they're on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and I saw Franklin Graham praying. Another clip. Mike Pence wasn't planning. I mean, he like an impromptu kind of show up, and which for a son who used to work for the Secret Service, that's hard to do.
Yes,
it's like wow. I'm watching Michael W. Smith worship. I know Sean Foyt went back there for that, to worship. But, wow, God, I love what you're doing.
And there were tens of people.
Tens of thousands of people.
Yeah. There was like 98,000 people.
Wow.
So just
98,000. So at first they said 40,000 and it kept growing.
Bet the news didn't come right.
It's
all over
there.
Facebook. What are you
going to
post for?
Exactly. I tell you what,
social media covered it okay.
I love what He's doing. He's never stopped doing. We get distracted, don't we, sometimes? It's like we think, oh, where did God get quiet all of a sudden? Did God back down? Because sometimes if you let somebody else speak, it sure seems like the bully makes a whole lot more noise than the guy who's winning and leading. I love that. And I've been watching more, Sean Foyt's been going to different states, worshiping in some of these, let's call them troubled cities, just bringing worship, not debating, just worshiping.
Yeah, and, in Seattle, yeah.
I just encourage you to enjoy revival when you see it. Mm-hmm. Mm. Enjoy,
celebrate it, right?
Celebrate it.
Yeah.
You know, we give so much attention to the other. I just encourage you, when you see the gathering of worshipers, go, yeah.
That's a good word.
You know, when you see the prayers coming together, yes.
Yay.
You know, you see the gatherings, yes. And
no,
okay, I'm not there. Yes, go for it, guys. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that this morning. That's what I thought was funny when you brought it up before we even started. I've got a couple of these. It's called God's Generals. Maybe some of you have read it. And it really just kind of like captures great revivalists, right? McPherson and Wigglesworth and Seymour and Coleman and McPherson. McPherson, right? It's just John G. Lake. Yeah. It's like, wow. If you want to get your heart woken up, it's like, and there's a few God's Generals. Yeah. I think three of them, I think. But they're phenomenal. And you know what, by the way? Some of them,
Oh yeah, they didn't end well.
Some of them don't end well. And you could go, oh, see, or you could go, wow, God, help me learn. Yes. Help me wake up. And we've been enjoying talking about the heavens being over us. Isaiah 64 says this, oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down. You know, it's like this thing about revivals. And you know what most of it was with these revivalists? You know what they were, what they did? Was they're in a moment, like maybe a room like this.
Right.
With worshipers like you. Mm-hmm. And a moment opens up in worship, and you're like, what do I do with this moment? You know what they did, the revivalists did? Huh. Stepped into it.
Yeah.
They just, it's like, you know what? I had an agenda. I had a 3-point sermon there, or I had a plan for today. And then it's like, God shows up. It's like, step into it. I just want to encourage you when you get a word, it's like, or somebody's sharing a word, step into the word that they're sharing and enjoy it, celebrate it, mm-hmm. Right? When you partner with those, when you step into those places, when you embrace those times when it happens, what happens to the atmosphere? What happens?
It changes.
It changes.
The atmosphere.
It changes the atmosphere. It's almost like, you know, first gear, second gear, right? Climbing the hill. Man, he changes the atmosphere. Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 9 says this. It came to pass. This is the baptism of Jesus. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens
open.
He saw the heavens open. He saw the heavens parting. And the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven. You're my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. First off, I just feel good about putting yourself in the story. I just want to say this. It's not anywhere here. It's just like, he says that to you. You're my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter. And I am so pleased in you. That's what, by the way, that was worship this morning.
Right.
I love you. That's what he's saying. Man, I love you, Mark. I'm so pleased with you. You know, and let's just our eraser. Come on, pull out our erasers. We're erasing our mind that any thought that says he's not pleased with you this morning, any thought that says he's not happy, he's not smiling over you right now, we just whiteboard it. Take all the lies away. Come on. He is so pleased with you. Jesus comes to John to be baptized, right? It was John who had prophesied that one's coming.
Yes.
And John says this way, I'm unworthy to even untie this guy's shoes, right? And when Jesus comes to John to be baptized, John says, wait a minute. I need your baptism, right? Because there was the baptism that was promised, prophesied. It's a baptism of fire that was coming, right? Here's the good news. He offered it to us, right? It's like after Jesus' death, after his resurrection, right? There's right this great immersion experience. He like pulls you into, right? He tells you, you and I went to the cross. Mm. You and I went down, and you and I went up.
Right.
You died with him, and you rose with him. Resurrected with him. You're like, oh! You are this with him, right? And so the promise of that access, the promise of that baptism of fire is, man, it is. It's yours, right? John baptized Jesus, and when Jesus comes out of the water, and John, he adds this to the story. He says, John bore witness saying this, John 1:32, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.
Where is that?
That was John 1:32. The Spirit of God rested on Jesus. Spirit of God remained, stayed. Spirit of God never left him. Right? We've said this before. The Holy Spirit is in every believer. His Spirit is in every believer, and he has covenanted never to leave. Right? I'm not going to put 100 verses in front of you, but he has covenanted never to leave. Right? But it's interesting. It's like, what is the reality of that? What does that mean? It's like, he's in me, but it's like, what's my part in this story? What's my response to him in me? There's an activity I've got of like, sort of like connecting to this spirit that's in me, right? We'll often talk about the presence resting on us or being here.
Right.
Right? So if the Spirit of God, right, so it's in me, but is he always like resting on me? And let me say it this way. Because I'm trying to figure out how would I treat him? How would I respond with the awareness that he's resting on me? And I loved how Bill Johnson shared one time. When he, right? It's great that he shows the picture of the dove, right? Okay, so the dove, here I'll say this to grandpa's. All right. Mm-hmm. Right? The grandpa angel. Mm-hmm. There's a dove on your shoulder. Right? And you're like, oh fuck, a dove on my shoulder. Yeah, grandkids over there in the corner, and you want to show the grandkid the dove on your shoulder. What's Grandpa Angel going to do to get over there in that corner? What's he going to do? It's like, he's going to probably take some careful steps because he doesn't want the dove to fly. I want to show my grandkid the dove, right? So he's going to be careful. He's going to be attentive. Like maybe the might slow down. Right? Do you see it? Can you put that picture in your mind? Can you see yourself walking with a dove on your shoulder and you're going over in the corner? That every action I'm taking right now, right? I'm doing it with a consciousness of, what am I trying to do? My goal is to, I'm protecting this here. It's like I'm giving attention to this here. My heart is to preserve this here, right? You might say, I'm giving honor to this here, right? So, and by the way, take this away and chew on it this week as you're sleeping in bed or going to bed. That's when we talk about this word, hosting the presence of God. Right, that's what we're talking about. I'm paying attention to. I'm aware of. There's something inside of me. It's like, not afraid, but it's like, I'm just kind of making myself. I don't know how to say it. Just, how about this? Let the picture talk to you. How about that? I'll leave it at that. You know, wow.
And the attention comes from love. Not from fear.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. My attentiveness, my consciousness of the Holy Spirit here. Right? It's like, what does that look like for me today? What does it look like to walk into Walmart today with an attentiveness to him? Wow, God, what do you want to do? What are you saying? Right? Put yourself into a difficult confrontation. Maybe you're watching the news and you're going, right? As you're not happy with the interpretation of what they're saying about this person you like, or this politician, or this Supreme Court justice. Right? So it's like, okay, Holy Spirit, what's my response? what's my response look like? Look, when Jesus went in the water, baptized, says the heavens opened, the heavens parted, and it, if you were to probably watch it on Hallmark Channel, it would go, the truth was, it's a powerful word. That when it says rend, it says that. And all, in fact, there's a militant aspect to it. It is like something is like something forceful is happening here. Something is like opening up. Scripture tells us that when he went to the cross, the same word for parting is the same, that tearing of the heavens is the same word that talked about, anybody know it, what I'm going to talk to say here? The veil, right? The veil. By the way, I'm not a scholar of those things, but I seem to remember from seminary days, it's like, it's crazy thick, right? Mm-hmm. Remember, it's like the material is like this super... Anyway, and it, by the way, it poured this way right down.
On top.
Happened there, down. Pretty cool. It says also in Scripture that the, you know what it said about the rocks?
It split.
The rocks split open, right? I just think, wow, this is the word that's happening that's talking about heavens being opened at Jesus' baptism. And you think, God, this is big. This is like the heavens opening. Why the radical militant kind of, because there's something it's like being released to contend against.
Mm-hmm. Two forces,
right?
Against.
There we go, right? Kingdom of, it's like boom, and there's like, now we have a response. Let's just call it the counterfeit kingdom. there is a response for the enemies. Stupid. There's a response to those things that still kill and destroy. There's a response to his destruction. There's a response to powers of darkness that have been lying to you,
yeah,
about the beautiful message of Jesus, which is, wow, I'm so in love with you.
Right.
Right? So there's this activity trying to get you to not accept yourself as his kid. Really. Right? So that's what's happening when Jesus comes up out of the water. The Father rips open the heavens. The Spirit of God is released upon Jesus where it remains.
Right.
Right? So here we are with our dove, Holy Spirit, on your shoulder. I'm conscious now. The heavens are open. Like the resource is open to respond to the junk around me. I'm conscious of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Right? What does life look different for me? Right? Sometimes I think it's like we work. Good heart, Danny. So that we're sort of sometimes we're begging God, oh, open up the door. Open up the door.
Please, God.
Please, God. I need help here. And it's like, I think sometimes like, they're open for you, yeah. Right? And I think sometimes
we beg, it's already yours.
Yeah, we beg. And God's like, wow, kids.
You're not an orphan.
It's yours. You're acting like an orphan, but you're the kids. You can come in the house and go in the fridge.
Yeah.
You don't have to act. Come on in. It's yours. It's
right.
Stocked.
Yes.
Take what you need. And, yeah.
Yes.
It's like we feel like sometimes, well, I've got to get home and, oh, red light. Gotta wait for green light. God says, give you a green light, go!
Right. We watched a movie like that where the people in the movie were like almost begging up, please, God, pleading with God.
Come on.
Like, oh, I have such a problem with that.
Because
the doors are open.
I heard somebody say one time that when we do that, it's almost like you're making yourself better, more compassionate, more like, I care for this person, and you know, I'm begging you to match
care
me.
For them too.
Yes, it's like you're detracting from God's love and compassion and provision by just not believing that he's living on that.
What these revivalists do? He shows up, they stepped in.
They
stepped into the moment where he showed up and said, okay, God, what are you doing? There's an attentiveness, the Holy Spirit. what are you doing? We're coming. What do you want to do? It's like our approach to life, our response to life, it shifts when we recognize the heavens are open, right? And if you go, but wait, Danny, it's pretty oppressive out there. It's pretty oppressive out there. My city looks pretty bad, or this state, oh, don't even get me started on the state. And you know, maybe for you it's the political season. Maybe for you it's COVID. Maybe for you, right, you're like, come on, how can you tell me the heavens are open? And it's like, look, I'm not denying reality that there's
right.
conflict.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying the heavens are open over you.
Yeah.
As we attend to, we're conscious to, we're honoring the presence of the Lord. We're honoring the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The heavens are open. I have a response.
Yeah, right.
I have the ability to respond to the stuff right here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm going to take responsibility for me. I'm going to take responsibility. What does this house look like? What does your house look like when we're attentive to the open heavens over us? We're attentive to the Holy Spirit in us. We're attentive to the partnership heaven has with the Holy Spirit.
Right?
Look, we did this a few weeks ago, but if I consider myself as one who's heavens are closed, don't do God, I'm knocking on the door, let me in, you know, open up. That is truth or lie? Is that true? Heaven's closed or heavens are open?
Heavens are open.
So if I think they're closed, I'm believing a lie.
You're believing a lie.
And we said before, when I do that, when I believe a lie,
I love it.
Yeah. I empower the liar.
Oh, so good.
I empower the liar.
And then you become powerless.
And we, come on. Oh, that's a good word right there.
Yeah. It's true, though.
We empower what we agree with, right?
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Yeah. Look. You know what's closed?
Mine?
This is what's closed right here. I'm learning. Come on, open up my mind, God. I'm learning to, that's why Paul says, God, renew this.
Yes.
Romans 12, 2, renew this mind.
That it would line up to what he says, right?
Yeah.
To agree with it.
He says, Paul says this, be not conformed to that mess, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
Right? That we would prove this, accept this perfect will of God.
Mm.
Like we're lining up. The heavens are open over me. I'm a son of God. He's ridiculously in love with me. When I step into the room, atmosphere is shit.
Right.
We're shifting focus. Right here. I'm gonna, do you know this, what the word says about the... So, Spirit's in me. Do you know that the Father is jealous for the Spirit?
Oh. Okay, talk about
the Father is jealous for the Spirit.
We're all waiting.
Spirit's in you. Right? The Father is jealous for the Spirit that's in you.
Yeah,
right?
For that.
Right? So here we go. James 4:5. I'm going to read this out of, let's see, I liked it in the NIV. You can... Here, let me get it for you, just a sec. In my head, I'm rehearsing the name of the book. See, James. It's been a long time since I remember all the words, right? So here, let me do it in the NIV. James 4, verse 5. Or do you think Scripture says, without reason, that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? There is no realm. There is no power. There is no other authority that has the ability to block the fellowship between the Father and the Holy Spirit. Think about that for Holy Spirit's in you. The Father's jealous for that Spirit inside of you. So what's happening? Here's what Father's doing. And we're like, what's the enemy want to do? Oh, if I could just separate those two. Right? If I could just disconnect them from Father. the great lie is that we don't belong with him, right? But what, look what happens when we step into the awareness, the revelation. By the way, this is what salvation is. This is what's happening when your mind is like, whoa, what happens when my mind comes to this waking up? What happens when the spirit in me comes to this wake? What happens when the physical presence of me goes, right? Body, mind, and soul, like there's this, right? Sozo, this healing of this, right? Say it again.
Heaven and earth.
Yeah, there you go. Come on.
And like you said, him wearing us like a glove.
Oh, remember that when we talked about Gideon?
That's what we were talking about.
Yeah! It's
so
like,
good.
I not, won't say skin suit, but people suit!
Oh, man.
I did it. There's nothing. Yeah, that's better than
that's
tomatoes
you.
And...
Thank you.
I hope you didn't need that. I took it out of there.
It was only chapter one.
Right? How, which, remember a few weeks, maybe a month ago, we talked about the house of God. House of God.
Right.
And Jesus, the prototype of the house of God. And you're all, he made you, he built you to be houses of God. All right? Holders. What did we learn in the house of God? Heavens?
Open.
Open. Not closed. What did we learn about his voice?
We can always hear it.
He's coming. It's active, man. He's real. That's why I love when we worship. It's like, hey, what's he saying to you?
Yeah.
Did you hear something?
Yeah.
He's actively talking. What did we hear about the angels ministering? Right?
Activity of heaven.
Heaven is active around us. His angels are ministering around us. Come on. Heavens are open. Heavens are not closed. There's nothing that's gonna separate you from him.
Nope.
There's no force. The devil cannot block this relationship.
Nope.
They can't be. Right? So you under an open heaven. Us, open heaven. Right? Mm-hmm. His house, open heaven. Your house, open heaven.
Yeah.
Your house, open heaven. Right? What? Sunday mornings, we come together. You know, one of the greatest things we could do on a Sunday morning isn't, did you learn the answers to the test? I studied history that way. Sorry, history teacher. It's like, you can study the answers for the test and not know anything.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
I know the dates. I know the names of the people. I know the names of the documents. I know the name,
right?
And not know anything,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're one of the things that we do on a Sunday morning. It's to stir you up to like his presence, to stir you up to an awareness of his presence,
mm-hmm.
to like okay. To help practice together in fellowship. What do I do with his presence? How do I respond to his presence? Right? That's why I love taking a few minutes before we start worship or in the middle of worship. Like, God, what's he doing? What did he do for you this week? We'll show testimonies. Why do we pray for each other?
Right.
We're practicing. Man, his presence is
right.
here.
Right.
His presence has a response.
Yes.
Some of you may go, I'm not qualified to pray. When I pray, nothing happens. You know what we're doing? We're just agreeing with heaven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I never expected you ever to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're not healing somebody.
Right.
you're partnering with heaven. You're co-laboring with him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, come on. Look, the reason it's so good to get together isn't that you check the box and said, I went to church today. We're learning to recognize those here. The Holy Spirit's here with me. I'm paying attention to the Holy Spirit. Look, if I want to, here we go, we were increasing awareness of his spirit on me.
Right.
Right? Not just something out there.
Right.
On me, right? If I don't do that, here's what happens. Then whatever conflict's out there, whatever issue is out there, whatever political news story is out there, right, it gets bigger than my awareness of his presence. What's it doing? It's like
infiltrating.
Yeah, it's like I'm sitting here, we're talking about, okay, the dove's here. And I'm tension, I'm conscious, I'm honoring his presence. And that's what's the squirrel movie?
Squirrel.
Oh, up.
Up. Squirrel. Right? And then the enemy comes and throws all these things outside, and we go like this, and we give attention to that. What happens when I give attention to that? What happened to my attention to Holy Spirit?
Right.
Yep. Right. We lose it.
Can't multitask.
Oh, come on. And when we do that, then we live in reaction to that.
Right.
We're not responding to Holy Spirit. We're living in reaction to the conflict that's out there making that noise. Right? Look, living in reaction to the enemy is a bad game plan.
Mm-hmm. Because he'll have you chasing the squirrel.
Oh, come on! Time. That's
right.
The word
right
there. Look, it is. Boy, it's disaster.
That's his goal.
He would love you to chase him all over the planet, wouldn't he, Shell? Come on.
I just had a vision of Pac-Man.
Yeah.
And. And that's what it just chases you around.
Yes.
Look, do you think the enemy minds the attention?
A good one, Sherry. Oh no, loves it.
Look at them. Hanging out with me instead of.
Right.
Right. Jesus did not model that kind of life.
No, he didn't.
Scripture tells us everything he said is because the Father was saying it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he did was in response to the Father.
Right.
So the Holy Spirit comes, rests on Jesus. What do we see? We learn about House of God players. We learn about how to partner with the Father. We learn how to, like, everything I'm doing, I'm going to do in response to what the Father's doing. That means every stone thrower, every got person yelling at him in the street, but also every sick person that came to him. It wasn't, oh, I got to chase this leper. I've got to chase. No. Like, what? You know, what does it say, the Bible say about the sick? Did he came to him.
Right.
It's like,
along the way.
I know what to do with this. And he shows us, like, here's what you do with this. Right? Look, I think in large part, for me, maybe it's your story too, my church history, my church journey, sort of taught me to live to react to what's wrong. And, you know, when you react to the circumstances out there, right, those circumstances, they sort of get a vote in setting your agenda.
Right.
That's why some people, I know, you know, might think, oh, we worship too long. Actually, it's all we should be doing. It's like, all we're doing is learning how to, like, be with him. We're just learning, how do I do life with him? How do I respond? Where I'm getting myself in sync with him. And everything about it, everything we should be talking about here is, how do I respond out of that relationship, right? I don't want the devil having any vote in setting my agenda. If he gets a vote, if he gets some kind of influence, he ends up getting a role in what my life looks like.
Yeah.
Right? He's not worthy of any influence. There's an interesting scripture, and it's in Isaiah 6:1. It's actually deeper than it really looks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It says this, in the year that King Uzziah died. Anybody know how to finish it?
Mm-hmm.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it?
Isaiah 6:1. Hey, go ahead and read it, Bob.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with, the, and with two they were flying.
Wow, wow, wow. In a year.
And they called to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Wow, wow, wow. That's
in the year that King Uzziah died. So Uzziah is a good king. He didn't finish well.
Okay. Some don't.
Some don't. And he was a good king. Scripture talks about that it says he sought the Lord in all he did. And he reigned a long time. He was one that came in like as a teenager, 16-ish kind of thing. Like 50 years he reigned. And it says that God made him prosper. And so it's a pretty amazing, you look at this like, wow, look at this guy. And it says that his fame spread. Mm. Sometimes one of the penalties of fame, mm-hmm. right, is we end up taking our eye off the attentiveness of him. And we're like, look at me. Mm-hmm. And so you can go read the story of King Uzziah. It didn't end well. Ended up with leprosy, right? Mm-hmm. But I thought it's like, here's a king that's got influence. Can you see distraction? All that, wow, oh, great king. Sometimes we get in churches like that. Oh, great pastor. Right? Sometimes other people have more influence, right? More influence than Holy Spirit. So I think it's notable that in Isaiah it says, when that went away, I saw him. Chew on that this week. If you're spending some time with the Lord, it's like, that's that thing that's stealing your attentiveness to the Holy Spirit. What's grabbing some of your time to what he's doing? What's stealing your heart? What's frustrating you? What's making you angry? You know, most of that's fear-based, by the way. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can I tell you what Adolf used to say? Just in the spirit looks like. He used to say that we put our focus inward.
Yeah.
And he would sometimes even put a sheet over his head or a blanket over his head to block out, well, me probably, but the outside world. And it was his way of actively shutting out the world so that his focus could be on him alone.
Right.
That's really what that looked like. And that's what he would say, what that focusing inward looked like was blocking out the outside world.
Sometimes you'll hear me pray on a Sunday, come Holy Spirit. Come to see all this place. And just so we're connecting here. Mm. It's like, wait a second, didn't you say he's already here? Yeah. Didn't you say he's already in me? Yeah. So why are you praying for him to come?
Sometimes
well, here's the interesting thing that it says in the year that King Uzziah died, he says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And it says, in the train of his robe, filled the temple. Mm. It's actually, that word filled is actually means, it's and it means filling. It's like, who was, and it's,
right,
and it's to come. It's like this continuous, it's like, there's more. It's like, he's here. No, oh my goodness, there's more. Oh my goodness, there's more.
Right.
I thought I knew it all. There's more.
Right.
I thought I had seen him do everything. There's more.
So
by the way, Revelations 4 and 5, that's what's happening. We're in the throne room. And the elder's like, holy. Do you ever wonder why for eternity they can do this? It's because there's more.
Right.
There's more. All right, so it's like there's this release of more and more. When I pray, I just know we're praying this. God, there's more today.
Yeah.
There's more of you.
So come.
There's more I haven't seen. Come on. Come on, Lord Jesus. God, I don't want to settle with yesterday's manna. I don't want to settle with just, come on, more. Right? He's covenanted to give us everything. I'll stop, but I won't. Okay.
Squirrel.
It's so good. Give it to us.
Okay. So there's.
If there's more, give us more.
All right.
So, there's more.
Okay, so there's a difference between what I have in my possession and what's in my account. Here, let me say it this way. How about this? Right? Hey, Bob, I need $100. It's like, he doesn't have $100 on him, but he can go to the bank and get it, right? So it's in his account, right? But it's not in his possession, right? We need to learn to live that we're in possession, right? We haven't tapped. It's like you have the full resource of heaven. You have everything you need to respond to this place. We have every resource that was given to Jesus has been given to you. God has withheld nothing from you. Nothing is being denied you. From heaven's perspective, Scripture tells us he paid for it all. Mm-hmm. Right?
Can I share something?
Please,
yes.
Rose.
Okay. Well, because it's like what you guys are talking about. So I've been home for 8 months because church, physical church, is closed here in Ridgecrest and everywhere else. I was doing online church, which I do not like. But I thought, since church has been rethought because of this COVID thing, that I felt we're doing home communion without a church blessing from a pastor. So I wrote to four pastors that I knew, and then I asked relatives, asked their pastors, to just send me a home blessing on my communion elements so that it would be a blessing to the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's some selfish thing. So out of six pastors, I only got two home blessings, which made me sad inside, because then I'm thinking, wait, isn't a pastor supposed to follow the Lord? And so my heart's been all over the map in the last 8 months.
So good.
There's an encounter he has promised for you.
Right.
We're learning to live in possession of what he's given, all of it he's given us right now.
Yeah.
Look, every outpouring, right?
There's a communion that can't happen over Zoom. Exactly.
Come on.
And
right.
The communion has to do not just with you sitting at home with your elements. These are your elements.
So good.
We're tearing out part of our heart and giving it to you, and you're giving it to us, and you're taking your part of Jesus, and you're feeding us, and we're feeding you. And that's a huge part of communion. Am I wrong, Shelley?
No, I think you're right.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, and it needed to be blessed by somebody who, you know, went and got their training and pastoral, and they're, you know, we're all linked, okay?
So,
it needed to be blessed. And, I mean, that's how I was raised. I was raised straight.
I like how you're still trying to figure this out, and how you understand that thing. We have to think out of the box,
right?
Yeah. That in today's world, and I love that you're navigating that.
Well, the first time I did communion without the blessing, I felt really bad. I felt really weird, and I just had this feeling of that it was wrong, totally wrong. So that's when I started my journey.
Yes.
And then, like I said, two pastors.
One of the most wonderful communions I've ever had. I was probably 16, and we were at camp. And I had just taken off on my own. And I was walking through the woods. I just remember God was just so present. I was just with him alone in the woods. And
wow.
Like, and it was like, I'm going to take communion. You know, it's like, I just felt like he was so much a part of me. I had a piece of chocolate in my and I was walking by a stream.
Wow.
And I took communion with the Lord God himself, with my chocolate and the water from the stream.
That is beautiful.
And it was like, it's one of the real highlights of my life.
Oh my goodness.
Those moments with him.
You know,
it's where your heart is. God is interested in the heart, not how you go about
everything, but where your heart is at, and so you good. Are longing for Him. Mm-hmm. And you come to Him just longing for Him.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah,
God. Communion, I mean, just the joy of its word. It literally means with oneness.
With oneness.
Right. It's good. Like it's yeah. an
that's what you're looking for, isn't
right?
It?
Yeah,
so
it's
good.
A it's
yeah.
an invitation. That's the reason we celebrate communion, by the way. Right, the simplicity of the gospel. He's ridiculously in love with you,
right?
And you're His favorite. Mm-hmm. Oh my beloved.
Right.
And
right.
He's pleased with
yeah.
you,
right?
And we in our squirrel in our distraction
yeah
we start believing lies that I'm not His favorite, He doesn't love me. And we celebrate communion to remind ourselves with oneness. It's like
the oneness, yeah.
No, you were created to be in Him. You were everything about your design was to be one with Him, to be like just Jesus showed you, oh kids, live this way.
Yeah.
We get distracted. We get confused. Fear sometimes comes in and wins. Love takes care of that problem, right? Mm-hmm. Communion is like it's a prophetic act, yes, but it's also a deep personal act of like, oh, I'm reminding my spirit. It's like it's the David screaming to his soul, "Soul, wake up! I'm one with Him." So I'll stop. Because I just, our, you know what? It's like we just want the personal encounter. We want the face to face. Everything about our journey, guys, is just finding Him face to face, like Becky in the mountains. There, it's like
mm-hmm.
everything about it is just that moment where we step into our face to face encounter with Him. Every healing leads us to the face-to-face opportunity. Right? Every morning of just like, wow, you're here, God. It's the face-to-face opportunity. And He says this, I'm not, Scripture says it, I'll find the verse later. God, You say that you're not hiding Your face from us.
Mm-hmm.
Ever again, your face is there for us, and Your Holy Spirit is poured out on all of us, God. So we thank You for the soaking of Holy Spirit. We thank You for the more and the more and the more of Your presence. We just invite You into our morning, God. We invite You into the beginning of our week, God, that we would just learn to celebrate Your presence. We would learn how to be attentive to the dove on our shoulder, the Holy Spirit inside of us, God. We just say yes to heaven today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.